In the face of tragedy, Charlie Kirk's memorial brings unity to America.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We do have a packed show today. My brother Jordan Seculo is in studio, Will Haynes as well. And later on, we joined by ACLJ Jerusalem head Jeff Balaban. As we know, there was some big moves out of Canada, Australia, and UK as they recognize Palestinian statehood. Now, what that means, how much of that is a show, we're going to talk about that because a lot of it is. A lot of it is a if a, will they, could they, and when it really looks at what would have to get to happen to get there, at this moment, it's almost impossible. Now, that being said, we are going to kick things off talking about the Charlie Kirk Memorial, which, as a lot of you, I'm sure, did, spent most of your day yesterday watching this 6-7 hour long memorial service that started noon Central Time, I believe. It was something we started watching all day, and I feel like I watched it well into the evening. You know, over, I think they said about 100,000 people showed up for this. I know plenty of friends that went out, and friends, some that were connected, and then some that were just fans that were just wanting to show their support and be there in the room to be there for a turning point for the Kirk family, for all of this, and to see this pretty incredible lineup of speakers that went all the way from President Trump, to Tucker Carlson, to a lot of heavy hitters, and then some interesting picks, including some pastoral picks. I have to say, as someone who's involved in the Christian music industry quite a bit, I got to give it up, and I think if you're a Christian music fan, you got to give it up to people like Brandon Lake, Chris Tomlin, Phil Wickham.
That's what I texted you about.
Yeah, because Brandon Lake in some ways, personally, if he's a selfish man, which I'm not saying he is, I'm saying he's not at this point, there's no upside, really, to him doing this. The man is selling out arenas in almost stadiums nationwide right now, bigger than he's ever been, nominated for awards well beyond even Christian awards, and decides to show up, lead worship in a traditional way, and to stick around for what looked like to be the entire event. Yeah. Huge respect for those Christian music artists, because look, even within the industry itself, I will tell you, it is not easy to do anything that could be quote unquote labeled political. And of course, with Charlie Kirk, it's in the cast of characters that were going to be at this memorial, of course it was going to feel that way. And then one of the big moments we got to talk about, I think this is one that we talked about last week on the show, which was, could this bring Elon Musk and President Trump back together? Because it's desperately needed. And look, it may have been short and sweet, but it sounds like we're headed in the right direction. We at least got the photo up.
And the White House released that photo.
Yeah.
So, like, officially released that photo. Yeah. Like,
and they put Elon X Trump or something like that.
And this is,
like, collab.
Obviously, we're showing on the screen the post from Elon that says, for Charlie, with the two of them together.
And we talked about, Logan, for long term, for conservative politics and Republican Party, really, bringing in young people, Elon Musk is the richest person in the world. We are outdone on the right by billionaires on the left. And Elon Musk was kind of
finally,
and then you had the Peter Thiels and others come along with him. And then they had the kind of they were almost too close, I think, is what happened. And I will say, I'm not going to divulge any details of things that people have been told me, but I know people, and I'm sure Charlie Kirk, I think they even were talking about Charlie Kirk. I'm not 100%, but have been working on rebuilding this relationship in a way that is, workable, which means probably not living together and not being the number, you know, the deputy chief of staff at the White House every day, but still having the backing of Elon Musk and the wealthiest person in the world, especially when you go into midterm elections.
Well,
and you need the money to run those get out the vote efforts, which Turning Point, you know, that's what they do.
Money and just carries a lot of clout and a lot of weight to his name, regardless of what people want to think about Elon Musk. My son, who's 13, like, breathed a sigh of relief when he saw the picture of President Trump and Elon back together, because he loved that Elon was involved. He loved that Elon was involved more than anyone else, because he looks at him as a genius.
Yeah, my son is almost 6, and he still is like, can we get the Cybertruck?
Cybertruck? Yeah, he went Cybertruck in the rocket.
For a while, I was nervous about having the Cybertruck in the front yard because of the, you know, the...
Yeah, people were going after him. All right, hey, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We'd love to hear from you. We're also going to give you an update on ACLJ case coming up. But again, 1-800-684-3110. Call us right now. Logan Mike Secula. We will be taking your calls. I'm sure a lot of you watched the Charlie Kirk Memorial that ran most of the day yesterday from Glendale, Arizona. Will and I have been to that stadium before. It is I mean, I don't think the visuals really could do it justice how big this stadium really was.
Well, as well as they had overflow in the basketball arena where the Phoenix Suns play, which is this complex.
25,000 people.
Yeah, probably. It's like an outdoor mall, eating, shopping area where you can go, and you can go to a Cardinals game if you're going to that stadium and have stuff.
And then I mean, I think there were around 200,000 people. From people I heard, like from Uber drivers and of my friends who were there, who were going in, they said it was three times as much traffic as the last three Super Bowls they've worked in Glendale.
Yeah, and they said it was almost 100,000. I think that's what they could contain. That's I think 100,000 is what they could hold.
At the stadium.
The stadium. Yes. I think the stadium and the arena
plus
combined
the basketball arena.
were about 100,000.
And then there were like another 100,000 people around.
And of course the highlight, I'd say, and that's a weird way of putting it, but the most... amazing moment was obviously Erica Kirk coming out right before President Trump and making just a remarkable speech. And again, you heard the name of Jesus more, I believe, in that that service, that 6 hours, than maybe you've heard your church in the last few years. I mean, it was pretty overwhelming. That was the mass majority of the speakers, even the ones you wouldn't think of, were making a lot of references to Charlie's faith. And look, I have someone who, again, I knew of Charlie. We share a lot of the same networks and all that. I was not even as aware of how much that played into his content over the last handful of years. Because when I saw him, he was more...
at the CPAC world, at the
teenager,
point world,
you know?
and starting out. And I think he probably, they would admit that too, he started out more in the political world. And then as he got older, he got more comfortable talking about...
Yeah, so I mean, I will say that. I've learned that more about him since his passing.
And let me tell you, when you have children...
That does change.
You know, talking about faith becomes a lot easier too, especially when you do the jobs that we do.
Yeah, and look, they just showed Brandon Lake again. Like I said, he was an actual Christian music fan, Charlie Kirk. He talked about Forrest Frank. He talked about these people very publicly. So I think a lot of the industry, though they typically would stay apolitical, and I still believe that this is staying apolitical, by the way, but I know for a lot of people it's not.
Yes, I don't think that.
No, they just did it because they knew he was... you know, kind of one of us with that. Now, I do want to play some clips, Will. I want to set this up. This was Erica Kirk, obviously comes out a recent widow. We've now heard, by the way, in very graphic details from a few of these speakers about that moment, that day. I mean, more so than I thought we were going to at a memorial service. Now, somewhat that brings it to reality, and that's even true for her.
That's right. And this, I think, was the powerful moment. I think this is what, when she gave her first response, that live speech that she gave in the wake of her husband's assassination, there was a lot of questions like what does someone who's just experienced this even say? Well, this is a moment I think a lot of people were curious. How are you in the grieving process? Where are you? You're being put in the public eye so heavily right now, and how are you balancing your emotions and all the things that you're dealing with? And I feel like this moment was just so powerful because it's a testament to her faith, to the faith of her husband, and really using her platform to showcase to the world what a faith really means if you have faith in Christ. And so I want to play this. This is Bite 2 from Erica Kirk at the memorial service yesterday.
My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men, just like the one who took his life. That young man. On the cross, our Savior said, "Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do." That man, that young man, I forgive him.
That is the moment that I think everyone will remember from this service, whether that was all the other speakers, President Trump, J.D. Vance, Tulsi Gabbard, all of these top names, but that moment alone, really will be the moment that we all remember. That will be the moment, I believe, the clip that will be played probably for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
When you think about moments in history, when your kids learn about this political assassination in school, that will be one of the clips that they play.
Yes, and I want to say this, you know, from the Christian ethos, being able to forgive your persecutors, that is the ultimate commandment, one of the ultimate commandments by Christ, is that you are going to be persecuted, and you pray for those who persecute you, that they come to. And we know that, you know, Saul, Paul, we hear, how many times did we hear that story of Saul becoming the Paul who wrote, you know, so much of the New Testament that we rely on? He was a persecutor of Christians. And the second part of that, I think that has to be clear to people. When a Christian, and this is just to those of you maybe who are not as familiar or just are still not at the point yet to where you could even utter those words yourself, would have trouble in your, if you were imagining in your own situation. That doesn't mean we're absolving them of justice in this world. They still, and neither does Christ, neither does the New Testament. You still face worldly justice for your evil acts. And this one was evil. This was murder. This was assassination. But that still means, and we have to as Christians understand that so long as he is alive, he has an opportunity to ask for that forgiveness. Now, only, but if that were to occur, even he said it occurred, only Jesus and he will know if that is real. Yeah. But I think for her to do that, one was a way to move forward and to say, you know, he's going to be tried. They're going to look at all those groups. Let the law enforcement do their job. If he faces, you know, the death penalty, he faces the death penalty. That's not on her hands.
Right. President Trump almost got there. He almost said the death penalty kind of line in the speech. He said, you know, to the fullest extent, whatever
well,
it may
that's
be.
What that means.
And yeah, but I mean, without saying it, without saying those words, because I do think you come off of that. Maybe he was, here's what I say about President Trump.
You never know what's going to happen in a trial about someone's insanity and things like that. And
with President Trump, you got to say this. I'm sure there's a lot of debate whether his speech was fully appropriate, inappropriate, because it did go occasionally into the promoting of a press conference tomorrow. Those kind of off-the-cuff kind of moments. I'd say for the majority of it, though, if we're going to judge it on a grand scale of President Trump's speeches, it was one of the better on-track ones.
Yes.
Where it didn't go off the rails completely into a political rally.
And you know, if you're inviting President Trump to speak, even at something like this, you're going to get both seriousness and some humor. And Don Jr.
You're getting him.
Yeah, and Don Jr., I think, did a great job of mixing humor and really some serious moments. My favorite comment outside of Erica's, which, I mean, I think almost everything she said you could go through, was what J.D. Vance said.
That's right.
Because I think so many of us in politics, even in the faith world in politics, because we're so used to the language of it, when J.D. Vance said this, it was so powerful. I mean, it's just something that still rings in my ear today. It was what I woke up thinking about him saying, and I was like, wow, you know, I wonder how many more of us should be doing this too. You know, even me, like maybe I need to be doing this more. And I feel like I do it a lot when I'm talking to my kids, but am I doing it a lot when even in this world that we're in, where we kind of take it for granted sometimes that everyone we work around kind of shares our core beliefs and faith. Take a listen to this, the Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, on his personal faith in the last 2 weeks.
A little uncomfortable talking about my faith in public as much as I love the Lord and as much as it was an important part of my life. I have talked more about Jesus Christ in the past 2 weeks than I have my entire time in public life. And that is an undeniable legacy of the great Charlie Kirk. You know, he loved God. And because he loved God, he wanted to understand God's creation and the men and women made in his image.
So, I mean, right there, the idea that in the last 2 weeks, and what I think even J.D. Vance was talking about, he's talked about it more, but so have so many other people. And that is not what the left was expecting, I think, from this whole event. I think they thought it was going to be a giant MAGA rally, and instead it was a mix of freedom of speech and faith. Freedom of speech, which means, like Erica Kirk said, he was trying to help people that he thought were lost, and that's why he wanted them to be able to speak at those events. But the fact is that people are admitting, they're saying, my faith has become like more real to me and more important to me in the last 2 weeks than it has my entire life.
Absolutely. But sadly, that is not how it's being spun 100%.
Of course not.
Because a lot of us woke up this morning expecting that and, of course, got a very different point of view coming from the more left side of the media world. We're going to talk about that when it comes back. I do want to hear from you. Phone lines are completely open right now. I'll tell you that right now. We got 6 lines open. Why don't you call? Give us a call. Let me know your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We saw all of this. And, of course, the ACLJ is still out there fighting each and every day in the courtroom and here in the media. We want you to be involved in that as well. We're going to break down more how the ACLJ is getting involved in the next segment. And, again, how you can support the work. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll find all of our incredible content available without a paywall for free right now. We'll be right back with more on Secular. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are lighting up. Give us some time. We'll try to get all of you guys screened. We'll take some of those calls coming up in this segment and again later in the broadcast. And later on in the second half hour, we're also going to be joined by Jeff Balaban of ACLJ Jerusalem. As we know, there was some breaking news coming out of the UK, out of Canada.
This is leading into the UN General Assembly.
Assembly, which of course is being held on a Jewish High Holy Day. So you know, they cannot necessarily attend. This is a crazy moment here. Of course, they are saying, hey, we are, what's the official words for Palestinian statehood?
Recognizing Palestinian statehood.
Kind of. But of course, it comes with a lot of caveats, including, well, there can't be Hamas control. There has to be this. So you're talking about kind of on paper only. We're going to discuss that with Jeff coming up. And we are going to take your calls again at 1-800-684-3110. Before we move on to the ACLJ topic, I do want to quickly take a call. Elizabeth in New Hampshire, she's an ACLJ champion. That's someone that gives on a monthly basis. I try to get you guys up as quick as possible. This is about the Charlie Kirk Memorial, so let's go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, Elizabeth, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that at our church, we've been praying for, at Open Door Bible Church, we've been praying for a massive radical revival. And yesterday, oh, my brothers in Christ, it was such a miracle to see thousands of people coming to know the Lord and to have each one of us say, in our relationship, how can we make a difference? Yep. And I got to tell you, after I listened to Erica yesterday and then today, I'm in the process of going through a divorce with a one-year restraining order. And you know what I'm convicted of? I'm convicted that I wasn't the wife that the Lord designed me to be.
And, Elizabeth.
And so I just wanted to say thank you.
Elizabeth, that's for you and God, and you've decided that kind of thing. We're not going to comment on that. Well, I will say is first, thank you for being a champion. Yes. I appreciate that. That's something that gives monthly. Appreciate it. Number two, I think a lot of people felt convicted watching that whole thing yesterday. And look, I believe the revival is here. You're right. It's not on the way. It's here. And if you don't speak up now, when are you going to? When are you going to feel that push and that passion to go, am I doing enough? What could I be doing more? Also, the question of what is God calling you to do? Not everyone is called to be Charlie Kirk.
No.
I'd say 99.9% of people are not. So what can you do in your local community? What can you do by the way you spend your money, by the way you donate, with what you do with your family life? Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be this.
It can be small, it can be big, and small can become huge.
Yeah, one of my friends said, you don't go have to start Turning Point. You don't have to go start the ACLJ. Just you can go be a part of it.
Yeah.
You can donate. You can just, or you volunteer your time. There are things that you can do. God doesn't always call you to start a business.
Can I say this? One of our good friends, he's been on the broadcast. Eli's a broadcaster too, with and he was there with Senator Cruz, who he works with, Ben Ferguson, and he was on Fox News. And I was texting with him. I mean, we're very close from each other's weddings. We've known each other forever. And the words that he used in his text. And the way that we would talk to each other, it would not be normal for Jordan and Ben Ferguson to be texting about revival in America. And I will say, I text him and I asked him about how it felt. I had another good friend there who used to work with us at ACLJ, who's still a good friend. And both, without me prompting, by the way, no prompting of the word, both wrote back, revival's here. Okay, these are not guys who would say that. These are not like, these are not charismatic to the point where they would just throw out that word regularly. They felt something there that they've been feeling since, I think, obviously going over the shock. Because as you said, Logan, it wasn't about turning everybody conservative and going to vote Republican. Did you realize that yesterday? Even some of the most conservative speakers there, you know, Tulsi Gabbard used to be with us. I texted her after, and I thought her remarks just on free speech and his faith. It wasn't, you need to go vote this way. It was, he brought in people like Robert Kennedy. Look at the crowd. Would you think someone from the Larry David show would be on the front row applauding the messages and from, you know, the Hollywood world? Some, and she's taken a lot of criticism, I know, from that. But still, that was Charlie Kirk. He was bringing people together in a broader coalition than some people on the conservative world may have been comfortable with.
Yeah, for sure.
And probably RFK was one of the most controversial who's come in. And again, his speech too. And you think about how much he's been through. My how many assassinations of his uncle, his father, while holding his hand, and then having to speak there yesterday. You know, anybody who tries to criticize anything about you know, how his response, I can't even imagine continuing to go through that and still being in public life.
Well, and I think when you get back to what you were alluding to at the end of last segment, Logan, and people that see this, one, don't know how to respond if you are of a different political persuasion, if you don't have faith, if you don't understand faith, because the left's hot take right now on social media and many places are comparing that to a Nazi rally and saying that Stephen Miller is Joseph Goebbels, that this is a grand propaganda machine trying to take control of the country and hijacking a martyr.
Assassin, exactly. No violence. Forgiving an assassin. 100,000 plus people gather who could be very angry, and righteous anger, fine, but no violence, no issues, you know, lots of security, no problems.
And to that point, Jordan, as well, is that if you actually hear the messages of people from across the board, whether it be broadcasters, friends, pastors, and Erica Kirk herself, the message of forgiveness, the message of being strong in your faith, and even Marco Rubio talking about salvation in a way that you never hear from a public official, but wasn't a trite political message.
No.
It was speaking from the heart. That is why people that do understand faith or feel convicted by that, I think there will be a big, powerful change. But I think the left and people that are
they've just made up their mind.
That,
if Donald Trump is exactly. at an event, if Donald Trump is at an event, it's a bad event. And that means it's bad people that went to the event. And you know what? I don't know. Charlie Kirk would say we could try to convince more of those people. There are some talking heads I think you could have conversations about that were fair. But for the most part, the left, so long as it's Donald Trump there, that's just it. I mean, right, does it take any more than...
They're just going to easily jump to it. I also think...
They didn't watch it.
Even if they did, they probably saw selective clips, and I'm sure there are moments that, you know, Donald Trump saying, she's forgiven, I'm not forgiven, you know, those kind of things, which, look, out of context, not the best moments, but you know what? They are being honest, they're being true to themselves in some ways. I don't agree with them.
Can I say what Donald Trump was really saying there very quickly? She was saying Charlie Kirk didn't demonize, you know, or hate his political opponents. He was talking to 20-year-olds. That he was trying to save, as she said. Donald Trump is talking about adult members of Congress that are trying to impeach him or put him in prison. That is, I think they are talking about two different people.
We've got a full bank of calls right now. Actually, one just opened up at 1-800-684-3110. We also have a second half hour coming up. You know, this half hour we spent on Charlie Kirk Memorial. I know a lot of the calls are about that, so we're going to try to get some of those in the next segment. And then we'll be joined by Jeff Balaban at ACLJ Jerusalem because there is important news coming out of that world. And again, we'll take more calls and comments and an update on some of the ACLJ work coming up. But I know this is dominating right now. People want to talk about it. So I'm going to let y'all talk as much as we can. When we get back, we're going to go through more of that. If you don't get us on your local station, find us on ACLJ.org or later on, however you get your podcasts.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We do have a second half hour coming up. Thanks for joining us. Phone lines are completely jammed right now. I'm going to jump to a call quickly. A lot of your calls are calling about the Charlie Kirk Memorial. I'm going to do that so we can hopefully open up some lines, but also because the next segment, we're going to be joined by Jeff Balaban, ACLJ Jerusalem, and I want to give you an update of what's going on in Israel, what's going on with the, I'm sure some of you saw the statements coming out where the statehood of Palestine was kind of approved by the UK, by Canada, and others. But when you really look at it, is it just something that's on paper? I would say yes. But let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go to Martin first, who's ACLJ champion. Martin in North Carolina, go ahead.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead, Martin.
Okay. With no politics in there, I like what all three of y'all had said. I'm going to leave all politics out of this. Charlie Kirk was doing exactly what every individual in the body of Christ is supposed to do in witness to people. No, Jordan, we are not called to do all the same things. There are higher levels and things, but we're all supposed to witness to people. Yep. And as going through that, we're going to face persecutions. You look at the disciples. You look at Stephen, the first deacon. He was stoned for his beliefs and did say, Father, forgive them. All these things. So when Erica Kirk said what she said, she was absolutely right. This is going to, I pray, unleash a revival like we haven't seen since the 60s with the Jesus Revolution and everything like that, so that we can move ahead, because we are, with what you were just talking about, in a spiritual warfare, and it's going to get worse. The Bible tells us that. We just have to stand on the Word of God and be bold, as all three of you said, and everybody. I did not see the memorial.
And I think that's why we're doing this show today. You know, everybody does not have
7 hours.
Seven hours. Yeah, I mean, it was and long. Sometimes when you see clips, they're out of context, depending on where you get your news or if you had time to watch this show or that show, or you know, you might have been busy yesterday and went right to work today. And so we're trying to put it to you in the context of honesty and I think how you would have viewed it if you were sitting there next to us. And I think you're right, is exactly what you said. We know at the ACLJ, since the founding of our organization, spiritual warfare is part of all of these battles. I mean, when you're up against those who want to kill children in the womb, and then they're starting to have discussions about, well, Charlie Kirk had one of these discussions once because the reasoning was getting to the point of, well, what if a parent said, you know, their kid wanted to be a pirate and they wanted their leg off? And then, you know, these kids have been in these philosophy classes, and they'd start saying, well, you know, they need to debate it seriously. But yeah, if the child really, really felt like that was their, who they were, you know, that they should have a peg leg and maybe even take an eye out to have a pat. I mean, and those were the kind of kids he was trying to save, to say, this is what you have been taught, or at least where your mind has been gone. Let's get involved now before you're lost. Yep. No one's ever fully lost, but the further you let people go down trails, the harder it is. And you know what? You also have to be is a good example. I think that was another part of this message, is that we all have to be good examples, because you never know who's watching and when they're watching. And that doesn't mean any of us are far from perfect, but you try.
Well, and I think, Jordan, as you mentioned there, is that when those that don't understand even the mission of what Charlie Kirk was trying to do, the only thing they can do is react to it in a visceral way and try to label it as something evil, because there is that spiritual struggle. When you can't accept that, when your heart is hardened against the truth, then you try to find any way you can to push back at it. And so that's why we're seeing the heightened rhetoric still. The left has not learned their lesson. They're still calling that a Nazi rally. It's shocking, but that is the state of the world we're in, and that is why truth must be spoken.
Okay, coming up, we're headed over to ACLJ Jerusalem with Jeff Balaban. If you're on hold right now, we have a full bank of calls right now. Stay on hold. I will do my absolute best to get to you. It'll be in the last segment of the show, which is just a few minutes away. So next up, we're going to ACLJ Jerusalem, and then we're going to take all the calls we can. Stay on hold. We'll be right back. to Seculo. We're actually going to go to ACLJ Jerusalem in the next segment. Jeff got caught up, so we're going to take a lot of calls right now. So I'm glad you stayed on hold. We're going to get to it. Let's go to Kevin first, who's an ACLJ champion. Kevin, go ahead in California.
Good morning. Who among us on the reasonable right, the quiet majority of people who elected Donald Trump to do the good business of America, believes or is surprised by the fact that we're now being hailed as Nazis at some sort of Nazi rally? The point is this. We should not be surprised by unreasonable people's reactions to reasonable solutions. And as a result, unless and until we come in hard against these people who are violent, tearing down this country, people who need to have consequences for their actions, nothing's going to change.
Well, I think here's the thing, Kevin, and why we have the best chance of changing this in our history, when you're talking about left-wing political violence. There's never been an administration more dedicated to using federal resources to also pressure states, because sometimes it's the state's role, to make sure, one, the federal looks at whether there's networks interstate that brings in federal laws. And then, of course, you need good DAs. We know that there have been a lot of bad DAs put in place by left-wing organizations who don't want to prosecute these kind of Antifa-ish crimes, that say, oh, they're not really organized, even though they are. And, oh, the pallets of bricks, that no one actually organized that. Someone just randomly, there were just bricks there. Never before, have we had an administration more dedicated to routing out this violence. Here's what they need from you. They are mocked when they talk about it. Cash Patel's mocked. What he talks about. Stephen Miller is called a Nazi, and he's Jewish. Okay. And they call him Goebbels. And Goebbels, likely because of our family, and I'm sure with Stephen's family, killed many of his relatives. And so he has a lot less family because of people like Goebbels. And so to be called that, disgusting, but that's the left. That speech, that's different. They are dedicated. President Trump said it. Pam Bondi has said it. Kristi Noem has said it. Tulsi Gabbard has said it. To going after the actual violent actors. We don't go after speech. We go after violent actors and those who want to cause actual chaos that could include either property damage or the loss of life. I mean, we had a thing in New Hampshire where, guys running it, and that's barely in the news now. And he screamed "Free Palestine" and killed someone at a New Hampshire country club last
barely
night.
Made any news? I believe Saturday.
Was it Saturday night?
At a Saturday night at a wedding. I texted Will. Will's like, "Hey, all the headlines I see don't say that." And I'm like, "Look, and if you right. really look, someone walked into a wedding at a country club, essentially just said, made a statement of Free Palestine and murdered someone.
Yes,
in the middle of a wedding and during the first dance of a wedding." That doesn't even get a pop on the news.
No.
I only saw it because of I'm pretty connected to that world.
What I want to say, though, is that of all administrations we've ever had, there's never been one more committed to going after these networks. You need to support them. Now, here's a couple things you got to remember. They've only got a handful of years. And number two, you can extend those years. So we can talk about that later on. Yeah. But remember, to really go after these networks is not going to be a day. And there's going to be a lot of criticism when because they're going to say, oh, you're going after political enemies. These are not political enemies. These are not people who, it's not speech. These are people who are carrying out, organizing, or funding actual violence.
All right, let's move on. We got a lot of calls to get to. Let's see if we can get to more. Let's just go in order. Let's go to Alana, who's calling in on line 5 in Washington. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment about, God doing all things for our good. And I know that we're going to miss Charlie Kirk, but he was here for a time and place. And I don't think that we would be seeing the kind of response that we would be seeing right now with everybody around the world coming together with vigils. People that were lukewarm Christians or on the fence, turning to God. And I've been seeing things like, people questioning their life choices and their lifestyle. And I don't think that we would be seeing the separation of the chaff and the wheat if it weren't for the death of Charlie Kirk.
Well, and Alana, I think one thing that we're also seeing is people, when they see that, that celebration of life, when you have a true faith and you know what comes after, Christian funerals can be a celebration of life and of hope for those.
You usually don't see it in an assassination.
Right, exactly. But I think that is what is
true.
That is what is different and why a lot of people may not know how to process what they saw, because his faith was so strong. His wife knows where her husband is, that yes, there is a heaviness, a sadness, but people couldn't process why there was joy and hope after such a horrific thing. And the only answer to that is rooted in the gospel. And I think that's why that was on full display and people got to see that maybe for the first time.
We have our human sadness. I mean, I'll always be sad for his children. I'll always be sad for her and for the team that he built and for the kids.
It was a 31-year-old.
And that's my human. My spiritual and eternal, so not just human, but my eternal faith knows that this is not the end of his, was not the end of his life, and it's not the end of Charlie Kirk. And so, for like you said, Will, for people who don't, haven't gotten even maybe that deep into their faith where they kind of will come to terms with those two things, can be difficult. I mean, that's why they said, I think, was it Erica who said, you've got to, nurture them. Because these are some of these concepts. It can be easy to say, I accept Christ. I now am forgiven for my sins. I'm going to be better, and I get to go to heaven and live forever. That's easier than accepting when someone that you love passes away and they're gone from your human life, and then understand, you know what I mean? That's what she said, is you got to help people.
Yeah. I want to continue on. There's a call coming in, Susan in Maryland, who's watching on YouTube. Susan, go ahead. This will lead a little bit into our conversation in the next segment.
Yes, thank you. The world seems to acknowledge Charlie Kirk was a civilian assassination for religious and political point of view. However, 907 civilian Israelis were assassinated on October 7th for religious and political points of view, and the UN seems to want to validate their 907 assassinations. It seems a bit like the book of Revelations when it talks about the two witnesses that were totally innocent witnesses that are put to death and the world rejoices. And it seems like this is the stage setting for that type of uncertainty.
Yeah, Susan, in the next segment, I want you to stay tuned. We're going to be joined by Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem. And we're going to break all of that down. I wanted to take your call to honestly hold on answering it, because I think looking at what you're saying, which is we are forgetting what happened October 7th just a couple years ago and how quickly the world turned. And I said the same would happen with Charlie Kirk, and by the way, it did, which was it went from about 24, 48 hours of everyone saying, unifying, we are all together, to then you see what happened with Jimmy Kimmel Live. You see what happens to a lot of these people where they get thrown off the air because of the things they're saying. You see how many people on MSNBC and on ABC News have been fired, let go, or suspended. This is what happens when the rhetoric gets out of hand and all of a sudden it's justifiable. We're going to talk about that because it happened to the Jewish people, it happened to the Israeli people, and it's still happening to them. While there was swift and definitive action taken of her a lot, and now look, I believe Jimmy Kimmel will be back on the air into the week. I really do. I think that there's a very, very good chance.
I know that
as long as if he wants to. He may not want to, and that's going to be a different situation. But if he's willing to do it, I think they're willing to they're going to bow down to the pressure that's happening right now. So right now, I encourage you to listen to what Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem has to say, because we have a lot of updates in Israel, and Israel gets forgotten in a lot of this. I want to make sure that it isn't. I want to make sure that we are still talking about it, that it's still on the tip of the tongue of everybody within our movement, because it's incredibly important, especially this week. It's a Jewish New Year starting tonight. So you got to think about that. That is a moment.
And the UN General Assembly, which is the, I think, number one week of attacking Israel in the world.
Yep. So look, phone lines are open, but we're going to only take a few calls coming up in the next segment. We will try to get to you, the three of you that are on hold right now. I can make no guarantees, but I will do my best. But Chuck, Melissa, and Michael, if you want to stay on hold, I will do whatever I can to get to you coming up during the next segment. If Jeff goes a little short, we'll do it. If not, unfortunately, we may not be able to get to you, but you can stay on hold if you'd like. I want you to support the work of the ACLJ. it's an easy time to be thinking about anything else. But right now, our work is still going strong. We weren't even able to get into the real work of the ACLJ today because we know how much so much of you want to talk about this.
All over the place.
All over the country, all over the world. And that's where we joined next by Jeff Balaban, who runs ACLJ Jerusalem. Why it's important now. Why, when conspiracies start flying around, when Israel becomes always becomes the target, it's important for us to be there, standing strong. And I hope you're there with us. Let me know in the chat. Are you still standing strong with Israel? How do you feel? I'd love to hear from you. Jeff Balaban, as I said, is going to be joining us. You can go to ACLJ.org and support the work of the ACLJ. But also, if you're brand new, hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. That does a lot as well. We'll be right back with more on Secula. Welcome back to Secula. We are now joined by head of ACLJ Jerusalem, Jeff Balaban. Jeff, there was obviously a lot going on this weekend. I mean, a lot happened in terms of Israel. And of course, we are heading into Rosh Hashanah tonight. So a early Shana Tova to you. But this is a interesting time when you have Canada, the UK, and who else was it?
Australia and France.
All
in Portugal.
Making the statement, declaring, you know, their support of a Palestinian state. Now, really, when you look at what Stammer and some of these others did in the UK, I started to read on what the terms would be to get to that point. And we are nowhere near it. And it feels like this is it has no teeth, if you will. It's a big statement. It's a statement we all need to be very, very concerned about. But it also is a statement that is completely unrealistic in 2025, where we are right now.
Yeah, you know, honestly, there is no possibility of this being a state. It lacks right. Everything you need to make a state, including, by the way, lacking an actual people, as there never has been such a thing as a Palestinian people or nation. It's an ideology. It's essentially an anti-Semitic death cult ideology created to destroy Israel sometime in the middle of the 20th century. So there's no indigenous people besides the Jews living in that land right now. And what they're doing is they're just adding fuel to the narrative fire that they've been really drumbeating since after Israel responded to the hostage taking and the brutal attacks of October 7th. All this is pure reward to the pure evil of those who want to eradicate Israel and the Jews. And is it because of domestic politics? It looks that way. I mean, those countries have been overwhelmed by immigrants who want to see Israel destroyed, and they're very afraid of their own immigrants. But in terms of the process, you know, they use words like peace process and express concern for Israel. Absolute nonsense. Israel across the board, except for the most extreme radical, Israel across the board has come out publicly now for quite a while that there will be no Palestinian state. They tried to give up their own territory, Jewish territory, and all they got was rockets and missiles and bombs and murders, and then October 7th. It will not happen again.
Jeff, when you look at the statements from the Prime Minister of England, and also we know that this is just going to make the UN General Assembly even worse than it normally is for Israel. Now that we have this, I feel like the rhetoric is going to be much more heightened. But here's some concerns I have, because the Prime Minister of England wrote in a letter to Mahmoud Abbas that the United Kingdom looks forward to a new era of friendship and cooperation between the British and Palestinian peoples. Our foreign secretary will write to your foreign minister to take forward the process of establishing full diplomatic relations. So one, already elevating and giving the Palestinian Authority, which is a terrorist organization in and of itself, more credibility on the world stage. But then in his statement, he also said, this solution is not a reward for Hamas because it means Hamas can have no future, no role in government and no role in security. Meanwhile, we have a spokesperson for Hamas, senior Hamas officials say, any step to strengthen the legitimate Palestinian rights foremost and among them, the fully sovereign Palestinian state with its capital in Jerusalem and the right to self-determination is a welcome step. So Hamas is praising the UK's prime minister, even though he's trying to say it's no reward for Hamas. We know what this is.
Yeah, I don't believe for a second that Starmer is so completely clueless, so completely witless to believe that anyone other than Hamas or those to the right of Hamas would be in power. In Palestinian society, it's a race to see who can kill more Jews. That's the entire existence. There's never been any evidence of a desire for peace, for coexistence. They were created as a way to commit genocide, and that's the entirety of the existence. And so this nonsense of talking about a state when there are no there's no equipment for a state and there's no desire for a state, there's only desire for complete domination. Listen, I'll say we're talking about Rosh Hashanah this month. It's starting tonight. It's already started in Israel. It is the day that Jews believe that all the world is judged, not just us as individuals, not just the Jewish people, but all the world, all of humanity is judged. And I think it's very clear to me that the fact that there are certain nations that want to go on record right now, they will be judged for what they're saying right now, and it will not go well for them.
Jeff, one thing I did want to say, because though some of this seems just absurd, one, to do it on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, to do it when there's ongoing conflict, when there is no clear leadership, as you said, even if you wanted to look at, you know, this one of these letters is addressed to Mahmoud Abbas. He has no authority at all in the Gaza Strip. In fact, his guys in the Gaza Strip were all killed by Hamas. So let's remind people of that. That's not reminded in these letters. But the second is this, though most of this is nasty, and thankfully we have the Trump administration at the UN Security Council who can veto any kind of move to accept Palestine as a state to the United Nations. These countries now will likely move what they probably have missions already to embassy status. And these are some of the major players in Europe who are going to be doing that. So it does come with benefits to Mahmoud Abbas and those in who, I guess, fly the Palestinian cause and act as if Hamas is not half of it.
Well, hopefully, Israel, with America's backing, can create consequences for that. Because it's everything you're saying, Jordan, plus it creates facts where it enables these corrupt thugs who run the Palestinian Authority, who are terrorists, to use the UN, which has been bankrolling their terrorism and involved in their terrorism, to then go after Israel in international legal fora. And it creates, which is exactly where we at ACLJ, is one of the places we fight back against this, because they're trying to create the idea that the Palestinians should have the right to criminalize Israel just for existing. And that's one of the things we fight about at the UN, at the International Criminal Court, at the Court of Justice. And so this is another way for them to give teeth to what's been nonsense, which is a terror organization not recognized as a state. Honestly, it pushes closer to a conclusion, a clash between the United States standing with Israel and these other countries that have completely collapsed.
Well, and Jeff, we know that these terrorists in Hamas and others, they love to attack Israel and the Jewish people around Jewish holidays to make a statement. And it's actually quite shocking that these countries are taking a play out of the Hamas playbook by doing this diplomatic attack right around the start of the Jewish High Holy Days.
Well, I will tell you, just, you know, this is not evidence of anything other than anecdotally. It is definitely the case that in Jerusalem, you hear more and more, not just in Jerusalem, but around Israel, more and more about whole communities picking up and departing these European countries, about masses of Jews trying to get out of Australia, feeling that those countries are no longer going to be safe for the Jews. And by the way, that is always the leading indicator when they become unsafe for Christians. It's a leading indicator when it becomes unsafe for humanity. And it's already happening.
Well, we said earlier that, you know, a wedding happened over the weekend in New Hampshire. Shooter came in, murdered someone, and all they said was free Palestine. And that was something that was barely reported in the media today, because we just simply, of all the things, sadly, it's becoming a little bit too commonplace. And that always what happens with all of these kind of sort of domestic issues. When they become commonplace, we become
peace in Israel over these holidays.
Yep. It'll be an interesting few days.
I'm not just in the idea, and pray for the Jewish people all over the world as they celebrate at their places of worship, where they gather, because we know the evildoers, they love to attack on these days. It's historic. You can see it in history. And unfortunately, like you said, these countries have bought right into it.
Yeah, but we're going to get back to the work of the ACLJ also tomorrow, so make sure you stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow. Again, go to aclj.org. Be a part of the team today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.